Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live, wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints football talk from our studios at the Meat House. With me today, Craig Wright. L. Mims, so sit back, grab a drink, and next hour or so, we're going to be talking more Saints and useless information than anyone needs to know. We're getting to the point here where I don't really know where to go with this. I know we're going to have some disagreement, whether it's negative or it's positive or it's... but we have some serious evaluations to do, and the more we sink down into this losing record, the more you start looking at the future and wondering which direction this franchise is going. Dale, take it away with some of that interesting. Get any of those
interesting words?
Words. I think I'm having a stroke. Am I having a stroke? Is my face okay?
Your face has never been okay.
Goodness.
Poles. That's the word I was looking for. That complicated word, pole.
Well, I have a question of the day, and the question is it injuries or coaching? So what do you think, Dave?
It's a combination of both. I mean, I think it's the human disposition to want to find one single thing that's wrong with something, because if you fix that, then everything's fine, right? I believe, and I hate to say it, and I know that I shouldn't go into this. I'll probably get slapped by Craig when he sees me, but this is kind of LSU thing. You have a guy that gets hired. You have a pretty good coach. You start playing ball. Things look terrible. And then all of a sudden, they start looking a little bit better, a little bit better. Then all of a sudden, things start coming together, and you look like a pretty good football team. And I haven't seen that with the Saints. And so, yes, injuries have been a major factor. But I also think that there's been some coaching missteps as well.
All right, Greg, what about you?
I mean, it's easily both, in my opinion. I mean, you can see early on, there were problems with what Carmichael was doing that didn't fit Jameis Winston's strengths. I think Carmichael has improved. Our play calling has been a lot better. We're obviously playing better offense, even with more players out than we were early in the year. So you can see offensively the coaching has been better. The defensive play calling, defensive strategy, defensive everything has been so much worse than last year. And you can't put all of it on the safeties. Safety is just a couple positions. Defense has been a lot more protected from injury than offense has been, and it's been playing a lot worse anyway. So maybe Dennis Allen not being that focused defensive guy anymore and having those added responsibilities, maybe he's taken some of that attention away and it's affecting. But you got to say it's both. I mean, you're missing Pro Bowlers on both sides of the ball. I mean, you can't expect that next man up is just going to cover it.
That's what Coach O used to say all the time. Next man up.
Nonsense. You guys are starters for reasons.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to our worst player of the game, sponsored by Dave's loud ass truck. Craig, who you got this week?
I think I picked Matthew last week. So it would be a little harsh for me to say him again. Toss up for either of the backup corners. You know, no, that's not true. Taylor played all right. The corners that weren't Taylor. Everything in the secondary. Yeah. Kyler Murray is a bad quarterback. That offense is not great. DeAndre Hopkins is good, but it was his first game playing. Secondary is bad. The pass rush is not good enough to protect that secondary when they're playing the way they are. But that's not really on them. We're down both starting corners. I mean, there's only so much you can ask of them. It'd be easy to say Andy Dalton with those three picks, but one was in the end zone. One was bounced off a receiver's chest. So that one's not on him at all. And he still ended up throwing four touchdowns and almost 400 yards passing. So, I mean, yeah, for me, it's defensive backs.
All right, Dave, what about you?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Harris. And I'm basically kind of repeating what Craig said. I would pick Matthew just because my expectations are higher and he's making a lot more money. I mean, Harris, just, we took him off the street. You lose one of your few starting corners left, but on the third play of the game. And I mean, okay, so you were talking earlier about the defense should be better, and I agree with you. And this is just a pickle that we're in. Is you want to see things get fixed, but until you get your actual players, at least most of them back, it's, you know, you could have a front seven doing everything that they're supposed to do, and as soon as you look out there and see two corners, that you just pick your guy. And then, you know, we already have our questions with the safety, so it's like, I'm gonna throw it to just about anybody and convert on third down. So then the defense has to start playing a different way. Then you start seeing them playing more coverage, and then their run defense suffers, and it's all part of it functioning properly. One thing is overplaying its hand for the other. In other words, the run defense is suffering because they're trying to help too much in pass defense, and it's just all looking bad. So, but I'm going to say Harris simply because, I don't know, he's horrible, and two, he's the easiest guy to say, once we get rid of him, we'll be better.
Okay. I'm going to be really result oriented here, and I'm going to say Andy Dalton, three interceptions,
four touchdowns,
two pick sixes. Yes.
One pick six wasn't his fault.
Hey, straight up Jared Lee.
Almost 400 yards passing.
I had the visions again of those, but those pick sixes, man, they were the game. They totally turned the game. So, and we never recovered from it. But let's go to our penalties and turnovers. The Saints had 8 penalties total versus Arizona, who had only 4 penalties altogether.
Oh, we had more penalties. That's surprising.
Arizona did get 3 first downs via penalty, but again, New Orleans, we turned the ball over 3 times, and to me, that was the big turning point in the game. Any other thoughts about that, Craig?
Of the penalties? Yeah, we're going to get more called on us. We're going to have penalties occur against us that are not called. Even the broadcast was pointing out illegal blocks that were happening on touchdowns that they scored. We just need to be used to that. I mean, you know, we have to play so much better than our opponent because we're going to get the short end of the stick from the officials every week. I can't understand it. I thought it was Sean Payton. It's not. Goodell wants to run us out of town. And now we have videos of referees asking Buccaneer players for autographs. Any pretending that we could do about the games being fair and balanced, any kind of objectivity, it's all gone. It's all a facade. If anyone in the world thinks that these games are played fairly, then they're delusional and they have no idea what they're talking about.
Something on the crawl about that autograph thing. And they said it was not for autograph, but they did not clarify what it was for.
It's not an autograph. I just wanted you to sign this piece of paper. Unless you sign in a check, it can't make it any better.
Would you expect anything else but for them to say, oh, no, it wasn't what you think it would be that was really bad. It was something else.
It was a birthday card for my kid. Get out of here.
Yeah. So I really would like that explanation. It'd be nice to hear.
You won't get one. Remember what Goodell's explanation after the no call? Oh, he didn't have one. He just left us hanging because nobody gives a shit about us. Cool. Awesome.
If it were something viable, if the reason that they were having something signed was viable, they would give you a full and thorough explanation.
Right.
They were signing the cards that had the that kept the down and distance because one player from each team has to sign off on that card to turn it into the league. And we've done that since 1987. That's what they would have said if it was real, but it's not.
Exactly. All right, let's get to the special teams. I don't remember anything outstanding happening on special teams, but I don't remember anything terrible either. I know Will Lutz made all the kicks. We had Shahid returning kicks. He caught them. It was fine. Blake Gillikin didn't shank anything. I mean, I thought it was okay for special teams. What about you, Dave?
That's all you ask for, right?
A game seems like a year ago. I mean, it really does. It seems like a year ago. And it's also the type of game that you really don't want to remember. You really don't want to go back and watch the film. It's just not fun. The only thing I really remember was Shahid slipping on what could have been a pretty nice run. Kickoff return. So, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to say anything negative towards him. That's the only thing I can remember is that, whoa, man, he looked like he had a hole there.
Yeah. You remember anything else, Craig?
I mean, that's the point of special teams are kind of like offensive line. As long as they don't screw up royally, you know, it does matter. Like, you just need them to not lose you a game. You make your kicks. Yeah. You don't have egregious, you know, field position blunders. They did fine. That's all you want from special teams. Don't lose me the game.
Hey, we're sending a big shout out to our new partners over at Sports Talk with Friends. We're going to be teaming up with them to bring you some different personalities and points of view. This season is going to be a lot of fun, so go over to their Facebook group and check them out, Sports Talk with Friends. All right, let's get to the offense then. I want to know, what do you guys think of Andy Dalton? He had 30 completions on 47 attempts, 361 yards, 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, Craig.
So we're going to talk about the interceptions a lot. One is absolutely his fault, and that was the one in the end zone that would have really put us ahead and given us control of that game, right? So that's the bad one. But he's trying to force the ball to Callaway, who is playing because 2 of the 3 guys ahead of him are hurt. Another interception, pick 6, bounces off Callaway's chest because Callaway should be your 5th receiver and not your number 1 option. The third interception, he's getting hit because the left guard gets absolutely destroyed. The left guard is a former UDFA who was playing because your starting guard is hurt. I'm not saying Dalton's great. If Jameis Winston is healthy, he needs to be the guy. But Dalton did not play nearly as badly as his stat line will indicate. I mean, overall, still had 4 touchdowns, still had almost 400 yards passing. He did make a lot of plays and did a lot of good things. You just can't overcome those kind of mistakes. And for me, those mistakes are directly tied to our limited availability.
You know, I was sitting here thinking of when I was going to work in some pokes at Craig about Callaway, and he did it for me.
I had a terrible game.
Right before the second interception, Dalton throws him a nice ball to the sidelines, hits him in the hands, and then gets dislodged. And you know, who knows? It's painful for me to see a guy do something bad right after something good should have happened. You know, quarterback throws a 40-yard touchdown but gets called back because of holding, and then on the next play he throws interception. You're like, how things could have been different. I agree with Craig. Andy Dalton played pretty well, but at the end of the day, those kind of big mistakes. And yeah, you're right. I mean, there's extenuating circumstances. The end zone one was by far the most egregious. Callaway was nowhere close to being open, and he threw it right in there. But here's something that you said earlier, Craig, and I was looking for a chance to work that in there. Is that I don't know if you said something to the extent of it seems that we're playing better offense. And is it because we've just kind of gelled, or is it because the offensive coordinator was seeming to figure things out, or is he figuring things out, or is it just that Andy Dalton plays more of the style of offense that he's accustomed to, design the offense for, name 100 different things, and the fact that Jameis Winston, as we've talked about all offseason, isn't really designed for this type of offense. Dalton will dump the ball off to Kamara, let Kamara do the running, and Jameis just doesn't seem to have that tool in his bag. So, having said that, I also recognize that Dalton has limitations. If you expect to win, and be more than just a, you know, a 5 yard and plotting offense, Jameis Winston's probably the better option. Both have shown that they can turn the ball over just as easily as they could be productive. So,
but this was a different offense than we've seen most of the year. A lot less rushing because, you know, we're trying to come back. So there was a lot more attempts. It probably had to be his the highest number of attempts that he had all season, right?
And do y'all feel like getting Taysom Hill packages out of the game as a direct result of being behind? Yeah. Once mm-hmm. you're behind, all those packages with Taysom Hill, even when he's going to throw the ball, they're based around looking like runs. And if you're down three touchdowns, you're not going to be running the ball in that situation.
Right.
Here's another point, Craig, that I found out maybe this past week. Taysom Hill obviously hurt his ribs, and in game two he cracked another rib. And there comes a point when people want to see more, including myself, see more Taysom. Having said that, the most productive form of Taysom is running those power plays. But the guy is I don't know how somebody can be so tough, hard nosed, and powerful, and yet be injury prone the way he is. So the point is, I think the Saints understand this. And so it's a combination of, okay, that's not going to be super effective because of the score. So why do it in addition to exposing him to injury? And then we don't have him next week when we could use him for a touchdown in the red zone or a first down. So I think that I get frustrated too, man. I mean, after his big game against Seattle, I expected to see him a lot more. And yet we still getting about the same amount. And so I think that there'd be a combination of those two things would be why.
Well, speaking of people we want to see a lot more of, Rashid Shaheed, one catch, 53 yards. Every time this guy touches the ball on offense, it's a big play and really positive. So, Craig, why aren't we giving him the ball more?
So what's he doing wrong then? Does he know a very little amount of the playbook? Do they only have certain plays written up for him? Because if you're that explosive and you're that fast, they something about on his touchdown catch, they clocked him at running over 21 miles an hour. It's the fastest any mm-hmm. Saints player has been clocked this season. That's nuts. That's driving in a residential neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? So there's got to be some other reason that he's not getting the ball. And you got to figure, the UDFA, he's a young guy. He's only been on the team really for a couple of weeks. He's practice squad injured, all that. So, you know, you got to figure he's not up to speed on all the plays. He's not got stuff built for him. And maybe that'll evolve. Maybe that'll change. But, you know, if he really had that much more of a ceiling, he wouldn't have been this UDFA guy we're just trying out. He would have been a draft pick. He would have been more productive in college. So you got to figure his ceiling is only Hardy anyway.
So one of the things that he was injured in the last game, he blew out his knee in the last game of his college season. Now, the expectation was that he would have been drafted, maybe not in the top three or four rounds, but there was expectation. And so this is the thing when I keep hearing the complaints, again, just like Hill, I want to see more of them. But we rave about Olave and making the transition to one of the most difficult positions to transition from college to pros at receiver, and we expect this college kid who went to a small, very tiny college to come in and grasp the entire playbook. Having said that, it ain't that hard to say go deep. So, I think that there should be a little bit more to his game because, again, go deep, I'm kind of joking, but go deep and break off that 12-yard out route. You know, the three routes you can add to his repertoire. Dennis Allen said that they had more for him and it's just circumstances and coverages didn't dictate that he would get the ball more. So I think there's a lot. He has a bright future. I mean, you know, we look like we have two fast guys that receiver, you know, I don't know. I look forward to seeing more of it.
Well, I know one of the fast guys you want to talk about, Dave, is Kevin White, who got one catch for 64 yards.
That's all he needs, man. Just get that man, get his hands on the ball. I'm kidding because, like, I'm tired of being disappointed by him. But, man, every once in a while, he'll show a glimpse of why he was drafted so high. I mean, he plucked that ball out of the air so effortlessly and just scooted on past everybody. And then with that size, you know, man, that's just some big plays. And again, we talk about Dalton and his the statistics. That was an example of, man, that was a 7-yard pass that, you know, an explosive receiver turned into a huge play.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, the Saints win 3 of 5 in the red zone, which is an improvement from last week. We went 1 of 5 and we were 6 of 13 on third down versus Arizona being 3 of 10. So we dominated this game in like statistics here, Craig.
That's what egregious turnovers will do to you.
Yeah, man. Terrible. Tell to me about the offensive line, because Dalton didn't take any sacks this game.
Early in the game, they looked really good. I remember a message to both of you guys. Early in the game, they were dominant. First couple drives, we had the ball. Every run was 5-6 yards. He had all day to throw. Most of the game, that was accurate. Like we were saying, there was a couple of times where Throckmorton got beat playing in relief. But for the most part, the O-line held up really well. Ruiz continues to be excellent. He had an excellent game. Ruiz and McCoy are quietly becoming a really, really solid center guard duo between the two of them. Tackles are going to be up and down. Hurst is playing well for what we're asking of him, but he's still got those limitations. He's not a top-line starter. He's good. He's fine. Ramczyk, again, inconsistent, but when he's good, he's good. He was very good yesterday, or Thursday, whenever the hell we're recording this. So, yeah, line was good. Line didn't lose us a game.
Okay. Our last call for offense. Speak now if I ever hold your peace.
We need guys back.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Kissing hands and shaking babies. The BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, let's get to this defense. The defense is now ranked 14th overall.
31st scoring defense.
We're up 3 spots here. That's positive. We got 2 sacks in the game. Got a sack from DeMario Davis and Cam Jordan. So, pass rush.
Non-existent. Talk about it. Well, look, this is another running quarterback. You don't have a straight pass rush. You don't just pin your ears back and go get him, because you can't. And he hurt us a few times on the ground when we did. It's one of those things. It's the same thing that looked affected us in Atlanta. You can't just go and get them if you're worried about the guy scrambling.
The run D, we had Eno Benjamin have 12 rushes for 92 yards. He had a long rush of 45. Total of 137 from Arizona. I know it's one of those kind of teams, but are we concerned about the run D yet, Dave?
I mentioned a little bit earlier. The problem is with needing so much help in coverage. We ran a lot of 7-man fronts. You got 2 high safeties often, and it's affecting our run defense. Now, having said that, I also saw a lot where they didn't have 2 high safeties, and they still struggled against the run. So I can start speculating all kind of stuff, and this is when the demons start coming out, and you start thinking, man, maybe this guy's too old, and maybe this guy really isn't that good, and maybe this guy. And it's just a matter of, if we went into the season with a rookie on one side and Harris on the other side, we wouldn't have the expectations that we have. The problem is we have the expectations that this defense is good. And the reason we have those expectations is because we have guys like Lattimore and Adebo, who had a good rookie year and looked to have a promising second year during camp, but then had hurt his ankle. From what I understand, it's a little bit more significant than we thought. So we've struggled out there without those guys. And then, you know, we know the situation with the safety. So we have basically a decimated secondary. It's affecting everything. You can't stop the run. You cannot stop the run. I mean, I don't want to say nobody can, but it's hard to stop the run when you're playing with 7 guys and you're playing coverage, because you have liabilities in the secondary. It's simple as that. I'm making an excuse for run defense. You just can't do it.
If you're going to do it that way, you have to really dominate on the line. So, all right, well, let's talk about this secondary. DeAndre Hopkins, 10 catches, 103 yards. We did have Roby go down early in the game. So that's not good, especially being down Lattimore too. So talk to me about that, Craig.
I mean, yeah, you're down your top three corners and one of the best receivers in the world gets 10 catches on you. Yeah, that happens. Like, there's none of that is surprising. None of that should be shocking. None of that should be all that big a red flag for you. He didn't score a touchdown, did he? So you still kept one of the best in the league out of the end zone with, you know, bums off the street playing corner and a rookie who had just been injured on IR until the week prior, right? So, yeah, none of that's surprising to me.
Yeah, I heard his PFF score wasn't bad at all, Alante Taylor.
Yeah, he played well. He was big and physical. I like him.
Yeah.
He fought, man. He fought like a dog in there, and it didn't go unnoticed. Dennis Allen pointed it out, and there was a point where I can't remember the quote exactly, but he pretty much said, we need them all to play like that, referring to Taylor. So it's promising. When we look at who's coming up, you know, who are the guys who are going to be the foundation of the Saints in the future in the next 3 to 5 years, he'll be one of them.
Okay. Let's go to our Peyton Turner report.
Oh,
and he's inactive. So let's go to our Davenport report. Take it away, Dave.
I'm a big fan of Davenport. I'm a fan of his physicality. I like the way he plays the game. I complained already this year that he's putting on too much weight, or that I think the Saints looked at it and said, we have a choice here. We can have him less injured and heavier, and he's just not as active as he has been in the past. But now let's look at it. And we may have had some of this conversation. Hell, with my memory, we may have had this entire conversation last week. But now I want to keep Davenport because, to me, I think he's Cam Jordan's replacement. You find a pass rusher on the other side, let him play the power side, and I'm thinking his value is going to be much more reasonable than it would have been. Think about if the guy would be on pace or in the season with 16 sacks. Now what we have to do is make a decision. We've had these kind of decisions. A guy that's injury-prone and has issues in the past staying on the field, and all of a sudden he has a blow-up season, and we have to make a decision. Do we give him ungodly money or risk losing him, and then he stays healthy like T-Rex? Or do we sign him for this ungodly money? He stays and ends up on the bench half the season. So I think we're looking at being able to get him and keep him for a reasonable price, which I still don't know exactly what it is, but $10, $12 million a year. And I'd like to see him move over to the left side where Jordan, you know, be Jordan's eventual replacement and get a faster, quicker twitch type defensive end on the other, which hopefully it's your other report if he continues to develop. If Ruiz can develop, I'm still holding out hope for Turner.
Okay. Let's go over to our pick'em. Shout out to the Hollywood Who Dat. He moved up in the ranks. We now have a new number one. And
is somebody moving out already?
Dave, you're continuing to be ranked. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You moved down to number five this week. Yeah. Yeah. So you
got all week. Had all week.
So, yeah, Kyle comes and bumps me out of the number one spot. And Craig, where are you at, Craig?
Don't worry about me. Let's focus on you not being in first anymore.
But it's still your little brother is owning you.
Yeah, well, my family is winning, and therefore I'm winning, so.
Oh, wait to spin that.
Hey, you guys always got to rally around the family, man.
Okay. All right, we got Baltimore as a 1-point favorite going to Tampa Bay. What do you got on this one, Chris? Yeah.
You know the Bucs are going to win this game, right? Like, we know that. We're one game back where the Buccaneers look terrible. The Ravens look good. we're getting this hope dangled in front of our face. Like, oh, we're only one game back. We can still do this. The Bucks are real terrible. Oh, they got a real tough opponent coming up. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to beat the Raiders, and then the freaking Buccaneers are going to win, and we're still going to be one game back, and we're all going to be pulling our hair out, pissed off, and I cannot tell you how sure I am of that happening. So, yeah, the Buccaneers somehow, disgustingly, just the referees drag them to the end zone, but they win.
Okay, so referees got their script in the mail.
Referees by three. Maybe they'll get a new autograph after the game.
Yeah, I think the Bucks have hit that crossroad that we've been waiting for them for a while. I mean, man, their offense looks terrible. And again, just we were talking about the Saints, it's affecting their defense. You know, when you're out on the field a lot, when teams aren't scared of you, it changes a lot of how people play you. I don't see the Bucks win this game. And so, yeah, I'm going anti-Bucks.
Yep, I'm going to pick Baltimore as well.
We got Atlanta. Right.
We got Atlanta as a 5-point favorite at Carolina. What you got with this one, Dave?
Here's the thing, man. I'm give Atlanta a little bit of respect, man. They're playing solid football, and I would almost go as far as saying they're the team to beat in the division. So I'm going to,
we did play Cincinnati a lot tougher than they did.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm not talking about Cincinnati. I'm talking about our own division. I think they're the team to beat. So I'm going to go with Atlanta over Carolina. Although Carolina played better than I thought they would coming off of the, you know, the meltdown week.
Yeah. They won their game with PJ Walker. Like they beat Brady. Insane. Who you got here, correct?
So I had this beautiful dream in my head that the Ravens beat the Bucks, the Panthers beat the Falcons, we beat the Raiders, and all four teams are 3-5, and the whole season starts anew. And it was this beautiful, glorious future where we were all tied for first place and fourth place, and we were ready to make our run and get healthy, and suddenly we emerge as the strength of the division. It doesn't matter that we're 3-5 because we're all tied and we play everyone again and our destiny is in our hands and the Saints are ready to fulfill all of our expectations. And then I remembered that God hates me and the Saints. And none of this will happen for me. Bucks are going to win this week. The Falcons are going to win this week. The Panthers will continue to only win when it's surprising or it's playing us. And we'll lose to the Raiders, I'm sure, and our season will be over and everything will be in flames because there's no joy and there's no love. There is no sunshine.
Okay. All right. Well, I am going to go ahead and pick Carolina plus the 5 points.
Atlanta, have Las Vegas.
What did I just say?
No, I'm saying I don't know if I ever actually said Atlanta. So Atlanta.
Oh, okay. Yeah, gotcha.
He got lost in his own misery.
It was entertaining, I'll tell you. All right, we got Las Vegas versus New Orleans coming up. New Orleans is last in a turnover ratio at minus 10. And Dennis Allen talked about turnovers this week.
To see us do a better job of stopping the run. I'd like to see us, you know, get after the quarterback more. I'd like to see us take the ball away more. I think those are all things that, you know, we've done around here that we're not doing as well as we need to. And so, look, we'll be hard at work this week to come up with a good plan that gives us an opportunity to do some of those things.
Shut up. Shut up, Dennis Allen. You shut your damn mouth. Oh, you want to do good football things? You want to get to quarterbacks and you want to not turn the ball over and you want to take the ball away? Yeah, everyone wants to do that. Shut up. Oh, you're going to make a good game plan. You didn't do that the first 7 weeks? Shut up, Dennis Allen. Get your fucking talking point bullshit buzzwords out of here. Nonsense.
Yeah, dude, that did sound a whole bunch like Mike Dettillier and Bobby Hebert talking football.
I think if we play better football and they play worse football and we have more points than them,
If you score more points than the other team, you're going to win a lot of games.
Shut up, Dennis Allen. I don't want to hear a goddamn thing from you until your defense ranks better than 31st in scoring. Jesus Christ.
Las Vegas is minus one in turnovers here. Now, the offense, they're ranked 9th in total yards per game, but their defense is ranked 24th overall. Talk to me about how you see this game turning out here, Dave.
I mean, hell, that sounds like we're ranked higher than them in most of these statistical categories, because I think our offense is ranked in the top 5 or so.
Number 3 right now.
Number 3? Okay, and our defense is in the middle of the pack. So, I mean, it sounds like we're a much better football team.
Yeah.
But my heart don't believe that. My heart tells me that we can't beat Bonneville High School right now. And until the Saints come out and show me something, I'll be sitting on my chair on Sunday with all the expectations of something's going to happen. There's going to be some divine intervention, and or maybe even better than that, maybe Michael Thomas will play. Maybe Lattimore will come back, and all of a sudden my despair will turn into hope. And that's what we need. We need to get some guys back. So right now on Tuesday, I have a hard time picking the Saints until I get that injury report that tells me I'm going to see some of those players that we need to win back on the field. So right now I'm going to say Raiders.
Well, who's the Saints starting quarterback?
I'm guessing that. Okay. And this is not, I think we're beyond taking sides, because I don't want to say something and have to go through that. Well, you don't like Jameis Winston. Like, I want the guy who gives us the best chance to win. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, this is sad. This is sad that I feel like Andy Dalton gives us best chance to win, just because I think he just fits the offense better. But then there's this whole other part of me that's like, yeah, but Jameis can bring back the big play that we've been missing. But Dalton gave us a big play, so I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. But what I do want to see is I want to see a healthy Jameis Winston, so I can finally get this out of my system. He either can play or he can't play. So if I had my brothers, I think I'd just go ahead and pull the trigger on Winston.
Okay. All right. Talk to me, Craig.
It's about health. If they're both the same level of health, you go Winston. He won the job for a reason. I don't know if we can take Dalton's quote-unquote success recently to say that he's better or not. You know, there was a reason that Jameis won the job in the first place. They brought in Andy to be a backup. You play a backup when your starter's hurt. A starter was hurt. A starter's healthy now. Go with the guy that you're planning the whole time. And, you know, Dalton has not been as bad as his record or his stats show, but, you know, his ceiling is what we saw. The second half of that Arizona game is the best you'll ever see of Andy Dalton. He did what we asked him to. It's fine. Jameis has so much more potential that we're not going to climb out of this mess and win the division playing the way we are. Something has to change, and you change everything you can. Get Jameis out there, get his receivers back, score 100 points.
Okay. All right. Well, Las Vegas is a 2-point favorite at New Orleans. Dave, who you got?
I thought I was doing that already. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pick the Raiders.
He already said that, Dave.
Yeah. But we get on record, you know.
Yeah, exactly. All right. And Craig, on record.
I am a Saints fan. I have the ink on my back to prove it. I have jerseys and shirts. I care so much. It ruins my week. I will never, ever, ever come on the show and say that I am going to pick the other team to win, because I won't do that. But God, if we beat the Raiders, I'll be surprised at this point. Saints win. The Raiders are also a bad team. Like, we get so wrapped up in talking about ourselves. You know, in poker, you don't play your hand. You play your opponent's hand. The Raiders' hand is crap. To pull a little bit of a poker reference for playing Las Vegas. Thank you. No, they run the ball pretty well, but, you know, there are times when we shut that down pretty good. I think they have a big play wide receiver. Hopefully we get one of our corners back. Their defense is not great. They don't stop the run well. There's a reason their record's as bad as ours. And okay, yeah, no, screw it. Saints by a touchdown, only to have Tampa Bay and Atlanta rip our hearts out and keep us a game back.
Gotcha. All right,
yeah, this is not the week we catch up.
I'm going to go ahead and pick Las Vegas minus the 2, and that's going to wrap this thing up for me.
Well, I guess
I hate you. I hate you.
You know what I feel? Do you guys feel like this low energy thing going on? It's like it's hard to be enthusiastic with what's going on. But anyway, I think
it's 12:30 on a Tuesday that no one has any energy right now. What are you talking about?
Maybe not. And then the sad part is that we don't get we do this in the middle of the day. We don't get drunk, Craig. So that's a whole element lost on the show.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's about all the show that we have for you this week. So for Dell Mims and Craig Wright, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast crew, and we'll talk to you next week after the Saints prove me wrong and beat the Raiders. Later.
Do that.
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us bs and beer@icloud.com.